I actually think that visibility is the only one way how you can develop your business in the modern time, because everybody is speaking about it, and it will sounds boring probably, but we're really living in economy of attention.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Everyone, thanks so much for joining us again on the podcast, Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs. I am so excited to introduce my guest, Marina Morgan. Marina, how are you today?
How Tori? Pretty good. It's really, I'm waiting for our conversation for a long time, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, for the people who don't know, can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So, proud to be a woman, living in the Silicon Valley, and my company name is The Morgan Impact, and we provide an solution for my clients. Mostly, my clients as entrepreneurs and their teams, and our main focus is to build together with them a high level of performance for their employers. And our approach combining business strategies, organizational psychology and behavior, and neurophysiology of leadership, of motivation, so everything that important to know about the brain and professional realization. So, also right now, my team working on developing AIQ. This is a framework that measuring readiness of the company with AI integration through the human perspective, because this is one of the most important aspect of our AI revolution. And also like a philanthropic development of my activity. I'm serving, I would like to say, not working, serving, like a director of strategic development of New York City Opera. So in trying to bring the innovation approach to the very classical forms of arts.
I love that. When you told me about that partnership that you're working with the New York City Opera, so intriguing and so fascinating to think about all of the innovation that you're going to, pour into that organization and the strategic development and to see the growth for you working with them is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, you're right. It's very interesting. And actually, most part of my career, I also had a long corporate journey. I mean, my professional path, it was some kind of combination of entrepreneurial experience and corporate job. And I worked with technological entertainment business most part of the time. I really understood that my knowledges and my experience in this can be very helpful for this institution with a long history. It was founded 8 years ago, but Mayor LaGuardia and New York City Opera is very brave and innovative in a social aspect institution as well. And that's why I decided to spend my time and my resources to support this organization.
That's so amazing. I love that. Well, let's jump in and talk a little bit about some of the work that you do. And I know that you do a lot of work to help leaders identify hidden challenges and opportunities that are in their business. So, what role do you think visibility plays in helping them move through these barriers that are in their business?
Oh, this is a really great question. I actually think that visibility is l the only one way how you can develop your business in the modern time, because everybody is speaking about it, and it will sounds boring probably, but we're really living in economy of attention, and we have pretty interesting meta landscape. And at the same time, it depends of who is your target audience and who are your target audience, but all of us right now following some influencers in social media. It doesn't matter how old are you, what is your interest, all of us has our influencers, and it is working like a personal recommendation, because you believe for this person, you're following this person, and when you're looking for something, you're right now going to the Instagram, to probably AI tools or something like that. But this is a big part of conversation, how the technologies work. But I believe that if you don't have this visibility, it will be very difficult to develop your business. You can choose any platform, any path for this that you want, because for some services and for some people, for example, for me, like for a person who working with entrepreneurs, for example, TikTok is not my platform, but different conferences, podcasts, some places where I can show the expertise that I have from the one hand, from another hand, to let my potential clients understand what kind of person am I, and do you feel in the trust with this person, and some kind of the long formance is working better. But it will be absolutely impossible for me to sell and to develop my business and to develop my services without this visibility. So of course it is very important, but the only one thing that I believe can be an obstacle for each founders, for each entrepreneurs, is that we're thinking about visibility like about something, you know, standard. Do you understand what I'm talking about? For example, I should have the social media, or I should have a TED talk or something like that. Like, for example, for the personal brand or for my business brand, I should spend a huge ton of money for advertising in a Google or in another platforms that's relevant for my business.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to do it. We don't have enough budget for this. But actually, the truth is that you should be very open and honest with yourself. What kind of promotion is comfortable for me? What I really open to try? And if you will have the answer for this question, it will be not so difficult to find the channels through that you will provide your company, your services, and your product for your clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think talking about visibility and it opening you up for exposure and growth, it can also uncover challenges or hidden maybe opportunities for that to scale. Would you agree that sometimes the visibility highlights problems behind the scenes or systems that need to be streamlined?
100%. So I think we have here several aspects. The first aspect, of course, is when we are becoming more and more visible, again, we are choosing different strategies for this. We can really find that our business wasn't ready for these opportunities. And for example, we got these tons of requests or the calls, and we don't have enough resources to work with each client and with each request. Actually, for some reasons, not all the business owners is thinking about it or counted enough to be, you know, more or less confident that it will work. And sometimes different situation is happening with that. Before you invest some money and resources for the marketing, you should be very, I think you should analyze the best and the worst scenarios that can happen, and be open that you will get zero clients, and be open that you can get 10x more clients than you expected. And I have a lot of cases like this in my practice with my clients. And actually, this is one of the reasons why my clients invited me to work with their people, because they started growing very fast, and the team can be not really ready for this expansion. I mean, mental ready. It's not about the time or schedule, or sometimes it's about the resources. It's true, you need to hire more people, you know, move fast, but more it's about, oh my god, what it's another numbers, it's another clients, and I'm mentally not ready for this. The next aspect here is that when you're launching and then you're started to connect with your real clients, this is the best way how you can optimize your product, because this is another problem of all of the business owners and founders before they launch in. They would like to make their product perfect. But this perfectness, even if we were really, you know, professional, and we did our user experience interviews and customer development interviews and something like that.
Yeah, their
real audience and real clients' feedback is the brilliance, and it's really unpredictable. Everything here is unpredictable, and when you're launching, even with not very good products, with some mistakes, with some bugs. And clients starting to write you, for example, guys, this is pretty good, but you should fix this, and this. It will help you to optimize your resources and to choose those strategies that your clients really need.
Yeah.
Because actually our mindset is not the same like our clients' mindset. And we really love our product. We believe in it. We would like it will be perfect and so on. So, and that's why I think that to do more or less good product and launch as soon as possible, and it is better to spend some money for the marketing instead of developing product and bring it to the perfect condition.
Yeah,
it can work better for the business. But here we come in for the one more aspect that I would like to emphasize here. Most of the business owners, they some kind of identifying themselves with their product, with their business.
Yes.
And for example, then I got some negative feedbacks and some people don't want to buy my product. I feel it like they rejected me personally. They don't want to work with me personally. They don't like my baby, you know, and it can be frustrating. And this is one of the things that we're working with my clients in one-to-one coach session, for example. Then you need to understand deeply the differences between you like a personality and your business. And probably it will be good to speak about it a little bit. For some of the women that I know who my client as well, and also I'm a part of Women Founder Bay. This is the biggest community of the women entrepreneurs here in the Bay Area. And for some of the women entrepreneurs, their business is very important aspect of their life and their realization, their financial independence and so on.
Yeah.
And also, we really would like to do the best services and to take care about our clients and to provide the best services for them. And it is really can be frustrating then people writing you something like, I don't like it, it is awful, you should fix it and so on. But specifically here, you really need to separate these two things of your life. You like a person and your business like about something that exists. This is important part of your life, but not your life at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something, like you said, that's probably very common with female entrepreneurs, because we invest so much of our heart and soul into our business.
Yeah.
And it's hard. We blur the lines between the business and our identity because we've wrapped everything into it. And so, like you said, when we get those rejections or those no's, we take it personally. And I think that's something that, you know, we all have to learn over time, that, you know, we separate ourselves from that product-based thing, and then we take it as constructive criticism or direction or clarity to really help us look at our business as its own entity and us as the founder, you know, CEO, whatever it might be of the business. And that, I think, is a first step in how you can grow your business. Because if you don't separate those two, then you're going to have issues when you get to that growth phase of your business.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about here.
Yeah. So one of the things I know that you are passionate about is innovation, right?
Yes.
And technology in business. And with AI, what are some of the implementations or ways that we can use technology to help entrepreneurs grow their business and scale in a smart, efficient way?
So it's a good question, because I'm using artificial intelligence everywhere all the time. And also I'm in Perplexity Business Fellowship. So this is a really great program focused on those things that entrepreneurs and business owners really need through the AI. And they really, and Perplexity not so long time ago launched a new version for the enterprise accounts for the enterprise tariff. And they suggested you even business assistants. And it's really pretty good because it's analyzing your email, it can communicate, it, you know, collecting some data from your email that you really need. And it's really worked great for me. So It's really difficult for me to say in what areas of my business I'm not using AI because I really love it. It is very helpful. And of course, all of my team is using AI as well. And it helps me to optimize my stuff. I mean, it's not about fire some people. It's about we growing very fast because all of us have the same level of AI literacy.
Yeah.
And I'm providing them tasks and deadlines, keeping in my mind that they will use AI. And that's why they can do more and faster. So again, it's not about firing some people. It's more about how you can growing up faster. And for example, okay, I can just share with you some kind of direction in my activities where I'm using AI and how I'm doing it. So the first thing it is, of course, collecting some data and market research.
Yeah.
Like, for example, OpenAI Deep Search. I'm combining it with Gemini and with the Claude. I mean, I'm typically using the different AI tools and I'm just given the same task and then I'm combining the results that I need.
Yeah.
You're looking for the numbers, the different reports, and you really can understand pretty fast what's going on in this market, in this country, in this industry. And this is fantastic because you really can understand the industry for your client in my case, because as I mentioned, when I'm working with a client, we are combining like business approach with organizational behavior and psychology, and AI really helped me to be pretty familiar with my client's industry. It doesn't matter what kind of industry they develop their business in.
Yeah.
So, of course, this is everything about communication, management of our clients, of our outreach systems, in social media. I'm mostly using LinkedIn and in other different resources we have, you know, a big spreadsheets, and AI help us to combine this data from the different resources, social media, different emails. And right now, for example, my team is working for all of my businesses, includes New York City Opera. Mm. And this is really different direction, but you're able to do it because of AI. Mm. I'm right now not investing a lot of resources for providing some content, I mean, for social media, because I did enough to have an opportunity to send for my clients some videos and say, you can watch it before coming to the consultation, because actually I really don't like to repeat the same thing every time. And it is easier for me to say, okay, not pay for the consultation, just watch this video and yeah. then you can come for the consultation. It will be more, it will be more, you know, profitable for you. But I think right now we can really do absolutely mysterious things using different AI tools for providing video. And actually I'm really don't see the difference sometimes. I mean, I can't say that this is real or it was not AI. The main thing that I'm waiting for are some changes. I mentioned it in our conversation before. For example, my friend right now developing AI tool that analyzing your client's behavior on your website and changing your website in the real time to mm-hmm. adapt it for your client's needness and their patterns. And it's based on the growth hacking approach and so on. And I'm really waiting for this because a website is, this is a very important part of the business. This is like the face of your business and the point of the sale for all of your clients. And typically you're just developing 3 or 4 different versions of the website. You're spending money for the targeting, for A/B testing and so on. And it seems that this solution will allow you not to do it and just to reconfigure your site at the real-time regime. And it will be very important, I suppose, for each of us. To summarize, I just would like to say that it is very important for all of the business owners to be really in high level of AI literacy, because you like a leader will influence for the level of the AI literacy of all of your team. It is impossible to be not very good at it and to hope that you're, I don't know, young team, like in my team, because I'm really, most part of my team is a Gen Z. I mean, it's like not something special. It's not like I'm looking for it, but... it is what it is. Or that they will bring you some solution or some strategies, but you should be the source of it. And if you would like that your team will be very familiar with AI tools, you should be familiar with that. Mm. And we right now, I think, living in an absolutely new era of the leadership, where you're becoming the role model in this thing from the one hand, and from another hand, there are a lot of different resources that I'm pretty interested in. That emphasizing the role of the emotional intelligence for the leaders.
Yeah.
And it's weird because why do you need this intelligence if you have to work with AI? But the real thing here is that you should be very sensitive to changing of the motivation and behavior of your team. I mean, the human part of the team.
Right.
Because, for example, when we have five team members, like, for example, let's imagine I have a department, we have five team members there, and I'm like a leader would like to create the common space in, let it be Claude, for example, or Perplexity, sure. Enterprise, doesn't matter. And I would like to involve all of them there, and I would like their work at the same level of it. I should keep in my mind that each of them have their own personal experience with artificial intelligence. And for example, are you using AI tools in
yes.
your...
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of AI tools are you using?
I primarily use Open ChatGPT.
ChatGPT.
Yeah, Google LLM. Is another one.
How do you feel it? I mean, is it your friend, your coach, your employee, your, I don't know, your business partner? How do you feel the personality of your AI, like when you communicate?
Well, for me personally, I feel like it's a second brain. I've trained it to a point where it's like my advisor, like, you know, based on what I've told you before, what do you think, you know, XYZ, or is this exactly what I would say, or how would we approach this differently? It's almost like a combined partnership, if you will.
Great. So, for example, for me, I'm thinking about my ChatGPT, like about my employer, and I'm just giving him tasks and providing the feedback. You can do better here. Please fix here. And for some of my clients, ChatGPT is like a coach and a mentor, and they come into their version of ChatGPT and say, can you please, I don't know, help me with this, this, and this. And let's just think about it. We're at the common space with you. You're thinking about AI, like about the second brain, and I'm speaking with your second brain, like with my employer. And you're thinking, what are you doing here? What's going on? I mean, each of us already have different experience. And when I'm like a leader, have a five people in my team and one AI, in reality, I have five more AI roles at the same common space.
Yeah.
And I should be very, you know, very intuitive, I suppose, to feel it and to help my team to integrate it, to be pretty familiar with that and feel comfortable in this common space in spite of our personal experience. And actually, there is different resource right now that we have that we are spending sometimes more time to communicate with artificial intelligence instead of our, I don't know, friends chat or something like that. Because, you know, it's like a, I can say the friend, but this is your partner in conversation who never tired, who looking for each information that you need, who can give you advice, who can give you a recipe, who can answer for each of your questions, give you some recommendation. And this is really important, our personal scenarios with that. And we're bringing it into the common professional space. And so
yeah,
that's
I think,
what I suppose it is.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to think of like human behavior now, how we interact with an AI tool. Versus in the past, when we had a question or we needed more information, we would either call a person to ask them who's had that experience, or we'd have to make phone calls, do market research, all of these things. And now it's something that we can just pull up on our computer or pull up on our phone, and we can type in the question and we can ask, you know, the research part of it, and it just is instant. So it's interesting to think about the behavior of businesses and how they utilize technology. I mean, we have to utilize technology moving forward. Otherwise, we'll just fall behind because everybody else is going to utilize it in that quick integration motion that we're in for moving forward. So, yeah.
May I ask you really one question that I'm really thinking about all the time, and it's really interesting for me. What do you think about it? I think you will agree with me that right now each country have a different opportunities in this technological revolution. I mean, AI tools, some services, economy, infrastructure. And how do you, for example, see the future? Will it be like step-by-step development for all over the world? Or, for example, if I develop in my services or my product, keep it in my mind that most of my clients is using AI, but for example, in some markets in the world, it's not so developed as, for example, is in the US or in the Asian part of our planet. And I think United States is real leader right now in this, and we can see it on the numbers and so on. I think we will be the leaders in this way, but how will it look like, in your opinion, in the future, several years?
Yeah, I think with the US being heavy users in this technology space, I think it's going to almost train the technology and push it forward in advancement so that other parts of the US, or not the US, other parts of the country will then be able to leverage this almost research and technology innovation that we've already developed to help them quickly develop on their end or business or whatever it might be, utilizing what we've already kind of innovated in our country.
I agree with you. I'm just thinking sometimes about if I have a global business, how I should develop my strategy. I mean, to ignore those countries that will not jump pretty fast in the train, or I don't know, thinking about how we can probably, I can't say help, but support them in this development, because I have a pretty interesting case that I will share with you. There is one country, I will not give it the name of this country, but it's not far from Russia. And one of my clients is working like advisor of the government of this country. 12 million people is living in this country, and they have more or less normal situation with, I don't know, groceries, some budget. But they have in their country 700,000 people who is working in service call centers for the United States market. So if we're keeping it in the mind, it's not in India or something like that, but it's in this part of the planet. So, and what's mean 700,000 people? That's mean like something like 2 million of the people in general, because this is 700,000 families. And those people who working in these companies that provide the service call and hotline for the American market and American companies, they of course have parents, wives, kids, and so on, and probably the real number of the people who depend on their salaries, it can be 2 million, and this is like 15% of all the population in this country. And they right now understand that United States, for example, are developing artificial intelligence technology pretty fast, and we right now have a lot of different services that you can use to replace the first line of communication with your clients in services and so on. And they really understand that probably in the close future, all of these people will lose their job, because we don't know, we don't need this anymore. And that's mean like kind of social and economy, you know, very huge affair for this country, because they don't know how to, what can they do with that? And they right now, their government, that's why they invited my client to work with them. They are trying to find the solution how we can develop the skill set of these employees, probably to help them to find a job on the higher level in US market or in another market.
Right.
But they found that they don't have infrastructure, university, even enough internet infrastructure for this. And this is very interesting how it will work. I mean, of course, at the end of the story, our economy will reorganized, and it will be some replacement. Some people will develop their skills. They will change their profession. And actually, right now, I think we know we don't live in more in the linear scenarios, because when I was young, how would it look like? So you should be good at a school. Then you go into a university, get your graduation, be a good student. Then you find a job, or for example, you start your business, and you will just step by step will grow. I mean, if you, for example, work in a corporation, you're stuck with a low position, and then you're growing. So like now you're head of some kind of department, you have your salary, your shares, your insurance, everything like that. And right now we're not living in this anymore. I mean, this is pretty normal to change your profession, to open your business, and they are a really great partner in it, because as I mentioned, right now, just for 20 minutes, I can collect all the numbers that I need about any industry that I'm interested in. And this is pretty great. But cases like this that I gave you as an example, I think they're pretty interesting. And for those entrepreneurs who are working with a global market, I think this is pretty challenging, because nobody is able right now to predict how it will develop, because there are so many combinations of different factors. And one of this, I will share it with you, and we will jump to the next topic, because it can one last. Actually, right now, I'm living in Silicon Valley, and most part of my connections here is founders and, of course, investors. And from different points of my network, I'm right now here that they're pretty close to open the new technology of energy. I mean, fusion energy or something this.
Yeah.
And we are very, very close to it right now. And right now, it's very difficult to predict what the company will be the first, because they are just, you know, they're running at the same lane. They're running the same line to the finish. And actually investors trying to put their money in all of these baskets. I mean, just because we don't know who will win it.
Yeah.
But if it will happen, the AI infrastructure would dramatically change immediately, and it can become cheaper because the most expensive part right now is the, you know, infrastructure and chips. And NVIDIA became the biggest company and richest company in the world because of it.
That's
why I'm saying that it's very difficult to predict it. Probably we'll have the new source of energy, and it will help all the countries grow very fast in technology, and it will be easier for us to provide these technologies for each corner of the world. So that's what I'm thinking about sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like we can have a whole other podcast just on that topic.
You're right.
There's just so much that's developing so quickly, and so many things that, you know, we need to be aware of and mindful of in our own business. And I just wanted to say thank you for being a guest here and sharing all of your knowledge. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about what you do and how they can stay in touch with you?
So thank you so much for this opportunity. The first place, listen to this amazing podcast by Tory Baker, because visibility is the most important part of our life, not only our business, I believe. And thank you so much for bringing this topic to the people's radar. So you can easily find me on LinkedIn, Marina Morgan, San Francisco, and my website is themorganimpact.com. You can come there and request a consultation, and we can speak about future AI and, of course, about how to make your business more stable and how to keep resilience of all of your team during the challenging times of the market that we're living on right now. So LinkedIn and the website, I think, the best source.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much again. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.